a lot of people think that when you see a successful person, the audience thinks that, oh, it's just this person became successful overnight. But there's a lot of private victories that person goes through, small steps that kind of builds up to that moment.
This is The Entrepreneur Way with Neil Ball. Unlocking the secrets of successful entrepreneurs 7 days a week. Subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter at Neil D. Ball. Napoleon Hill said the power of the mastermind is the driving force. To discover how you can unlock the potential in your business using the power of a mastermind, go to mastermindunlimited.com. And now, here is your host, Neil Ball.
Hello, it's Neil Ball here. Thank you so much for joining me today on The Entrepreneur Way. The Entrepreneur Way is about the entrepreneur's journey, the vision, the mindset, the commitment, the sacrifice, failures and successes. I am so excited to bring you our special guest today, Oz Konar. But before I introduce you to Oz, I have a quote for you by Layla Gifty Akita. You ought to question if you do not understand. The Entrepreneur Way asks the questions so we all get the insights, inspiration and ideas to apply in our businesses. Oz, welcome to the show. Are you ready to share your version of the Entrepreneur Way with us?
I'm absolutely ready to rock and roll, Neil.
Thank you very much for coming on the show today, Oz.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
Ever since the days of selling water in flea markets at age 7, Oz Konar has been obsessed with business development and the lead generation process. He's the best-selling author of 2 books on small business development and marketing. He is also the founder of 3 successful companies. As the president of LMS, he is responsible for developing strategies and systems to help clients get massive results and make money. In his free time, he loves hanging out with his wife, his son, and their troublemaker dog, Tofu. Oz has been consistently honored with many awards for the past 15 years, as well as speaking at various events, helping and coaching hundreds of small business owners with their marketing-related problems. Oz, can you provide us with some more insight into your business and personal life to allow us to get to know more about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I have multiple businesses. A lot of them are on the marketing end. One is manufacturing. And I'm a father of a 1-year-old son. And also, we have a little dog named Tofu, married to my beautiful wife for the past 8 years. So I spend a lot of my time either working on the marketing lead generation campaigns for our clients or coaching students on digital marketing. And I'm also a big fan of fishing, which is a big thing. And in the area that I'm in, there are certain spots that no one knows and only I know. So I go there quite often for fishing purposes.
Can you just tell us the story about how you became an entrepreneur and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, it was quite an accident, actually. So when I was 7 years old, I'm originally from Turkey, and where you used to do your shopping is not through like supermarkets. There was none of that. You go to open markets once a week, and you better do all your shopping once because you're not going to be able to find a place to buy them for another week. And this is like really outdoors, and you have like hundreds of vendors and thousands of people just walking around for at least 3-4 hours to you know, find whatever they're looking for. And I noticed that people are sweating like crazy. They're super thirsty, and you know, and I'm thirsty too, and I'm only 7 years old. And I told my mom, why don't I just run back home and grab a pitcher and glass and start offering people water? I didn't have any intention of selling it. It was just I noticed that people are going through this painful process week in and week out. I just wanted to help a couple of them. There are so many of them, obviously. So I brought my pitcher and I started, you know, offering water to people, and they were just, of course, gladly accepted it. After I made like 6-7 turns back and forth, someone said thank you, and they gave me money. And I asked what for, and they said, you know what, you're selling water, so just take this and thank you so much. That was my first exposure to the sales and marketing part of that, and I kept doing it week in and week out, and it generated quite a bit of money for a 7-year-old. But the lesson I got out of that is, you know, there was the people were having a problem, and it was timely that they solved that problem at that moment, and I had the perfect solution. And once I did that, without having to sell myself, I was offered a payment for that. So that kind of was like an aha moment for me, and that reflected on all the other businesses that I created with the same mindset. I always look for, as an entrepreneur, I always look for problems that people complain about or you know, they can't resolve, and try to create products or services that would, you know, resolve that problem for them. So that was the beginning of my journey as an entrepreneur.
And how did you get into the business you're in now?
So about 6 years ago, I was, you know, web design was a big thing, and we were helping a couple of clients with their small web design projects. And after building a couple of hundred websites, I noticed a pattern with people. What they wanted was not really a website. They wanted traffic and they wanted sales. So after we built so many of them, and you know, I kept hearing people say, awesome job, we like it, but how do I get customers to come to my website? Or how do I have people have buy my stuff on my website? Which we haven't done anything about it. Like, we were just designers and we were just creating social media pages and the pictures and images and all that stuff. Then, you know, I kind of transformed my company about 3 years ago. Now, primarily, we're focused on lead generation for different industries. We focused on a couple of niche areas and really deep into them. But yeah, so that was the beginning of my journey by creating websites. Now we're like full on board on lead generation and sales.
So the adage of build it and they will come isn't true.
Not anymore. Yeah, if you were only if you're the only company out there doing what you're doing, that could be a possibility. But yeah, those days are gone.
Well, of course, the disappointing thing about that phrase is it actually was build it and he will come. Which is not as good as they, is it?
No.
So you're helping people generate traffic for their businesses. That's the essence of what your business is about, isn't it? I think. Is there any particular niche? You talked about specializing in certain niches. What sorts of niches do you specialize in?
The first one is the financial area, mm-hmm. Business lending, mortgage. Those are the areas that we have a lot of clients in. And the other vertical is other digital marketing consultants who are starting their businesses. They're trying to make sense of, like, how do I acquire more clients or how do I get results for them? That's more of like the coaching part of what my business that's done by me. Mm-hmm. But of course, the generation part of that is handled by my team and myself also. So we have like different audiences like that. And I also provide coaching to companies who are doing $1 million or more, but they're struggling to jump to the next level, because that's has a lot to do with lead generation and also what happens to the leads when they get it. Because it's one thing to drive traffic to a website or a lead source, another thing to take advantage of that and convert that. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, the most important metric is the sales.
Yeah. So what's the best source of leads and traffic at present, as you see it?
We're doing a lot of Facebook ads right now to drive traffic to our customers' website or their marketing funnels. Google is great. That also depends on the industry. So the distinction I make for my clients is that if you're offering any type of services that would be considered an emergency, like if you're looking for a plumber because your basement is being flooded, that's an emergency. If you have a toothache and you need a dentist like right now, that's an emergency. For those type of business model or service providers, Google still is the best resource, because people don't go to Facebook to look for an emergency service provider. But for other purposes, like we're consistently generating leads for your business, Facebook is the best platform so far.
What do you enjoy most about what you do?
I would, you know, it can be, people would think there's the technical stuff and getting leads and all that stuff, but it is just communicating with my clients and finding out, like, they're witnessing their growth. You know, they start from a point when they start with us, and they're with us in their journey, and they are opening up their company to us, pretty much, for us to have access to certain things, and we help them out. Just witnessing that process and hearing how well things are going from them is the part that I enjoy the most.
And what drives you to do what you do?
You know, Neil, that changed quite a bit when I first started at a younger age. It was more materialistic, to be honest. I know many people might not like that answer, but it was just the money part of that. I wanted to make more money than anyone in my family. But as I'm 32 years old right now, and I have a family and a son, pretty much that changed quite a bit. Now my motivation is to be able to build a legacy for my family and be able to be connect with more people, more entrepreneurs and whatnot, and help them out. So that's what's driving me crazy every day in a positive way, and has set up so many meetings and still work really hard.
How do you relax when you're not working in your business?
I do a lot of reading, and I also listen to the books as well. Those are the only two forms of my relaxation. I also watch webinars of my competitors and other companies. I know that would be considered working maybe for some people, but still that's my way of kind of relaxing my brain a little bit from the manual work that I do or the work that I do on the phone with my clients.
Do you have any entrepreneurial role models?
Yeah, I definitely enjoy listening to Sir Richard Branson and also Tony Robbins. Tony is like a classic or maybe a cliche for a lot of people, but the part I love about him is that he was able to build so many different companies profitably. And same thing with the Sir Richard Branson. Obviously, as I think last time I checked, he has more than 400 companies. So that's something that I admire, knowing how difficult it is to build one company up and start another one. So I always look for tricks from those two individuals, finding out how they created systems in place so they kind of scale their business to so many different areas.
Yeah, it's just the concept of having, I don't know if it's 300 or 400 different businesses, but it's certainly a lot. It's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, how on earth do you keep an eye on all of that? It's amazing.
That's truly amazing, especially when like more than, you know, almost 90% of businesses fail and they can't make one business succeed. And these guys are just a couple of hundred of them at the same time. Just mind boggling.
Absolutely. Oz, what I'd like to do now is talk about the time before you were an entrepreneur. What difficulties did you have to overcome when you started your business?
A lot. Everything. When I look back right now, every single thing looked like a major difficulty because you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, I had difficulty figuring out who to target, pretty much. Like I kept hearing from people that I need to niche down and pick an industry. I had a big problem with that because I felt like I'm missing on opportunities. If I'm just focusing on one area, well, why not spread? Then I found out that was not the right way to go about it. But yeah, that was a mindset or a difficulty that I had to overcome.
What would you say to anybody who has the same mindset as you had previously with this idea that you can't miss opportunities and you should be trying to market to everybody? Because of course, when you first set up a business, you want all the business you can get. So obviously, the more people you appeal to, maybe you'll get more business. I think that's the way a lot of people think.
Big time. That's the big hurdle to overcome by so many entrepreneurs. I think the one way to handle it is change the way you think about it, because you can't be everything to everybody. When you build your business like that, it is so easy to be replicated by other people. And also, it's so difficult to dominate the market by being a generalist. But if you become a specialist, for example, back in the day, I was the guy that is known to build websites for dentists. So that was me, and you know that. Yeah. But if I were to claim my identity, business identity, as I'm a website designer, there are 10,000 other people who would say the same thing. But when I said I'm a website designer for dentists in a certain area, that's a lot more specific, and that's a lot easier to be on top of that industry. Because with the business, the end goal is, you're hustling is fine, but you want to get to a point of receiving unlimited referrals, and the only best way that would happen is if you're known with something. So that's why I know when starting out, you know, it's a mixed feeling of desperation, and also you need to make sales and you want to grow your business, and that fear sets in that you're missing on opportunities. But I would suggest just go through your internal arsenal of what you know best and what industries you like to work with the most, and just go after that.
I heard someone once say that when you talk to everybody, you talk to nobody. I think that's so true with this, isn't it? And of course, the other thing about it is that when you start niching it down and specialising on something, you actually become more of an expert in that industry. So you can start to talk to the people in that industry in a way that other people can't, because they don't understand the subtleties of that industry as well.
So true. So true. It affects every part of your business, because when you're a generalist, you're marketing your services and you're not really deep enough to understand your customers' problems. You're dealing with their general problems. But when you are working with a specific vertical, you're so in line with what the terms they use and the phrases they use to explain their problem, that when you communicate with them, they are in sync with you, and it becomes a lot easier to get new business than being just a generalist.
Did you have any doubts that delayed you starting your business?
Oh, big time. I think every entrepreneur goes through that phase every once in a while. Should I take this action? Should I wait for this to happen first? I think it's all about taking action, knowing that you don't have everything perfect going on, but sometimes that's a part of the design. Sometimes you will end up failing, and that will teach you a very valuable lesson that you would not have learned otherwise. I did have many doubts. I did have doubts about, for example, when I first started to transform my company from website to lead generation, that was a fearful period. You know, my questions were, why am I not sticking with something I know? Why am I getting into lead generation? What if it doesn't work? What if people don't recognize me as a website guy anymore? And this doesn't pick up. So many doubts, but I think doubts are important to recognize that you're having those moments and still be able to take action. That makes a difference between a successful entrepreneur or a wannabe. Because many people claim themselves to be entrepreneurs, but they can't just pull the trigger.
What mistakes did you make that slowed your journey?
Again, being like the generalist slowed my journey. And also, when you first start out, going back to the previous question on doubts, you doubt your offer. You don't know if it is as good as you think it is. So one of the mistakes is just not being more present in all the areas that would require me to be there, because multi-channel marketing is really, really key if you want to grow your business at a faster pace than just going through one resource. Another mistake I made is I was like a hardcore hustler. I would just stop by businesses, 30, 40 of them at a time a day, make so many phone calls, which is great. Like, a lot of people, shy away from doing that. But at the same time, I ignored how important it is to build relationships with my customers and future customers and create my referral sources. So if I knew what I know right now, I would also spend time building those strategic relationships as well.
What are some of the things that you did before you started your business that will be helpful tips to some of the listeners who haven't yet taken the first step on the entrepreneur way?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to understand what your customers are going through. I would definitely pull out a pen and paper, write down their biggest problems, and customize their offer based on their needs. I think people do the opposite. They have a product or service, and they're trying to fit that product or service into their ideal customer's business or whatever they think that they need. There's nothing more important than having the actual data. Like, surveying your customers is a big deal. Even if before you start with your business, it's okay to call a couple of people who are in the same industry and ask them, ask for an interview. Ask them questions about, let's say they're using a service, the problems with their service. If they had a magic wand, what would be one thing they would change about their marketing or whatever you're offering to them? And that's just an invaluable lesson before you get started, because the last thing you want to do is you set up everything and you set up your products and you make your you set up your offer and brochures and all the marketing materials and find out that the service you're offering is not needed.
Oles, what I'd like to do now is just talk about the entrepreneurial journey a little bit more with you. Do you think culture is important from the beginning in a business?
It's absolutely important. I can speak from personal experience that my first business failed twice because of that. Like, I would build it up and bring it up to $30,000, $40,000 per month in revenue. Then it would just collapse back down. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to tell why the heck that was happening. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell that. Then, you know, I through educating myself and listening to other coaches and my mentors, I found out that I was trying to build a business myself without really caring for a team. And I was just hiring people and trying to plug them into certain places and hoping that that would work without creating a company culture. I paid a price dearly. Then, you know, now it's a lot more different, where we have a system in place. We make sure that the people we hire is in line with our value sets and our mindset and our goals. And we kind of filter the people who are not a good fit for that. We hire a lot slowly and fire, you know, a lot fast if that we see that they're not in line with our value proposition. So I think it's extremely important. And I don't think it's something that you will set up after you set up the company, like 2 years later. It's something you have determined upfront without spending way too much on it, because both of them could be dangerous, right? Not having it is a problem, but spending 6 months and deciding on the company culture is also a problem. You got to be able to pull the trigger, but be aware that if you're losing people, if you're losing customers, that's generally a sign of not having the right culture within your company.
So what steps did you go through to actually create the culture in your business?
I kind of went back and you know, pulled all the customers that we had and all the employees that we had, and I looked for a certain patterns, like what made an employee successful at our organization, what happened with the ones that we lost and we didn't even see that they were not the right people. Same thing with the customers. Like, what did our customers love about us and what did they hate about us, if there was anything? If you lost a customer after acquiring them, after a month of acquiring them, that's a problem. You know, we can't keep blaming the customer. It's probably something we have done or we have not done. So after going through, like, taking inventory of what we had done right or what we have failed at, so it gave me a certain pattern as to which direction to go and what traits to look for in the individuals that we hire. And in my own management style as the owner of the company, that kind of led us in the right track right now. And we're doing pretty well with that.
And can you just talk about a little bit more about how you hire the right people to fit with the culture in your business?
One thing I always make sure that when I'm interviewing someone, that they are clear on the position they're interviewing for. Usually if I feel like they have not prepared or they're not clear what it is that we're asking from them, it means two things. First, either we were not really specific about the position we're hiring for, our needs, what we're looking for was not specific enough, or the person is not prepared at all. So if they're not prepared at all for a job interview, that tells me a lot about how they do things, because how you do one thing is how you do everything. I believe that. So that's root for elimination from the job interview. So we look at those two things that they start out with. Then my entire interview process is to understand if they have the skill sets that match the job that we're doing. And if they don't, are they malleable, and is it possible for us to put them in that position so they can grow with the company? So I look at those two metrics throughout the entire interview process to decide if they make it to the next level.
Now, earlier you talked about coaches and mentors and how they'd helped you. How important have they been to get you to where you are today?
Huge difference. It made a huge difference in my business. A right coach or mentor can shave off years of your own efforts, especially if they have been doing what it is that you're doing. So when I'm hiring a coach or a consultant or a mentor, I make sure that they are in business. They're business owners. Like, I never hire a coach that is not in business and all they do is pretty much coaching. They have not run a company maybe at my level or bigger than that. Usually when I'm choosing a coach, I want someone who is 10 times better positioned than my company is. If my company is doing $1 million, I need my coach's company to be doing 10 million plus, so they can coach me and take me from where I am to where I need to be. So I can take all the shortcuts possible, because entrepreneurship is hard work. Like, shortcut is not going to replace that, but you got to combine working hard with working smart, and that's made possible with the right mentorship.
And do you still use coaches and mentors now?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an important thing, this, isn't it, for business owners? I mean, even, you know, people like Zuckerberg and Jobs and Bill Gates, they've all worked with business coaches. So clearly they know it's important, and many other people do. So it's something that you have to build into your career and your development of your business all the time, really, or have it at key points in your business career, because you just need it, don't you, to grow and to expand as your business does, and to change with the times, and make sure you're just doing the right things in your business, or helping to make sure that you're thinking the right way and you don't become too narrow in your thinking.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, entrepreneurship as a journey is a lonely journey sometimes. And what ends up happening is you need to make a decision about something, and you evaluate it through your own filters, and you come to a conclusion about that decision. Now, then your brain tries to convince you that that's the right decision because you made it. Then you apply that decision without really verifying if it is the right decision or a wrong decision. That could be okay in your personal life, because maybe it's only affecting you and maybe one or two people. But when you're running an organization of 50 people, 100 people, the entire organization is shaped by your decision. So you can only go wrong so many times pulling the wrong triggers. So that's why having a mentor is really key, to share with them, like, this is my decision to either move this department or hire more employees. That mentor can come back and challenge you with that, instead of you just approving your own decision-making process. So I find it super helpful to go through my coaches to check with them. Like, this went through my filter. I feel good about it. What do you think? And that challenge teaches you a lot and saves a lot of money and time.
Knowing what you know now, is there anything that if you'd known it when you started out that would have helped you to shortcut the learning curve?
Take massive action. I know that's cliche, but definitely tap into any opportunity that would get you in front of your ideal customers, so you can learn from them. Knowing what I know right now, back in the day, it was a lot of, while I was offering my services, it was more of a sales call than a consultation. Now I do ask a ton of questions. I would have asked a lot of questions before I speak about the services I provide, because what you learn from your potential customers is invaluable. And when you have that opportunity on a strategy session, on a call, I see many people do not take advantage of that. Like, if I knew what I know right now, I would have taken advantage of that in a massive scale.
How much does gut feeling influence your decisions in your business?
That depends. It my gut feeling used to affect my decision way more before than it is now. Right now, I look at a lot of data before I pull the trigger on certain things. But yeah, if I check things out and if the data proves that we got to take this action, if my gut feeling tells me there's something funny about it and I'm not feeling the right way, that's an internal challenge, right? A part of me wants something done. The other part of me is kind of pulling back. Mm-hmm. That could have two reasons. One is that I'm pushing myself out of my comfort zone. That's why my brain and my subconscious telling me not to do it. Then that's definitely 100% go, green light, because I want to push myself out of my comfort zone. Or it could, based on my past experiences, there's something wrong with what I'm going to be doing. And that's when I bring that to my mentors and coaches and tell them, hey, I'm having an internal struggle with this. What should I do? So to answer your question, I do use my gut feeling, but I think it's a lot more systematic than before.
What makes you uncomfortable as an entrepreneur?
The one I remember vividly today is the first time I spoke in front of a group. That definitely pushed me out of my comfort zone. But it was like the biggest gift ever since I've done that. Now I appear on different shows like yours, and I have my own group, and I shoot a lot of videos through my private Facebook page to my followers and teach them online marketing. But without that hurdle, I would not have changed that part, and I would be more like behind the scenes. But I'm so thankful that I pulled the trigger, which was like super uncomfortable.
And what do you think are some of the secrets to success?
Success is defined in so many different ways. I think my understanding of success is if I'm doing something business related or non-business related, and I am feeling like it's adding to the value of my life, and it's a progressive process. I'm not feeling bored, and I'm adding more to the lives of others and to my life and to my companies. I consider that a success. I don't see it as a destination that one day you get there and boom, all of a sudden you are successful. It is the journey itself that every day you fall down, you get back up and you learn something, you apply it again. That process is a success itself, as long as we're not quitting on ourselves and being like totally disappointed about our mistakes, but kind of welcoming them.
So success is a journey rather than a destination.
That's what I've come to believe. Yeah, originally I believed that I would get to this point as an entrepreneur, make so much money, then I will be successful. Then I noticed how bad of a thought process that is, because you're depending your success on an outcome that you have not experienced before, and you might like it, you might not like it when you get there. But every day you're just putting in the effort and being happy as you do this and feeling successful is a lot more productive than looking forward to a future date that might come and that might not come.
Life is made of constant change, whether we like it or not. And many people say that the only constant in life is change. Oles, how do you try to keep up with change?
In business, there are, just like everyone, I get bombarded with so many marketing messages and videos and social media, but I have a list of people that I follow that does things in parallel to my industry, and I follow, do new updates from them, and I watch certain webinars and read certain books. That's just, you know, that keeps adding more tools to my arsenal for me to go back to my clients, either tell them, hey, we have this new service that we want to try out. Do you want to be a beta? Or just by following these people on a personal level, it kind of opens the door as to what others are going through and how I can learn from that.
What is your favorite book on entrepreneurialism, business, personal development, leadership, or motivation? And can you tell us why you have chosen it?
I'm a bookworm. The book that I find myself reading once every 2-3 months is the book from an entrepreneur named Russell Brunson, .com Secrets. So from the title, you would think that this is only about internet, but this guy gives just so much value about the copywriting, the human psychology, why someone buys something, or if they don't, why they would not buy something. So whether you are, your business is online or offline or whatever service you provide, I think it's important to understand the steps you need to build that business successfully, create the right offer, put it in front of the right audience through the right tools. So for that reason, this is like my favorite book for the past 2-3 years.
So what's the name of that book again, Oles?
.com Secrets.
Okay. And what would be your second best choice then?
Any book from Tony Robbins on financial education and on a personal level. I'm a big follower of him. And for business development specifically, the third book is, I'm looking at it actually, Predictable Revenue. Predictable Revenue is a book that shows you strategies that you can take away and start applying immediately, such as using cold email to acquire new clients. Technology has made our job easier, but I think has made our decision-making more clouded. Now we think that we need certain technology or tools or apps and software to do certain things. This book talks about like what is like the core thing you need to do in your business, which is making offers to new customers every single day.
Folks, when you have a busy life, listening to audiobooks is a great way to expand your knowledge in the time when you may be doing other things such as driving or when you are at the gym. We have a special offer for you, the free audiobook of your choosing. To choose your free audiobook, go to www.freeaudiobookoffer.com. As long as you've not already signed up, then you will qualify. Oles, what I'd like to do now is to speculate about the future a little bit with you. What one thing would you do with your business if you knew that you could not fail?
I would take a spot in all the trade shows related to the industries that I follow. That would require quite a bit of traveling and upfront expense, but I would definitely jump on that and do that. There are about 200 of them. I would be a part of all of them.
And what difference would that make to your business if you did that?
That would put me right in front of hundreds of thousands of businesses that could be potential customers. Mm-hmm. It's just knowing the quality of those events is a challenge, because you're spending a lot of money up front, and also you're spending a couple of days. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. But if I knew that I could not fail, I would definitely jump on board and book all of them right now today.
What skill, if you were excellent at it, would help you the most to double your business?
I think this marketing skills are one thing that can be learned, but I think the skill of understanding human psychology deeper would be a skill set that would serve me lifetime in any type of business that I handle, because that was like the eye-opener, the aha moment in any kind of marketing that we do, either for ourselves or for our clients. Like, understand what the other person goes through, their thought process, their mindset, when you are asking them to make a purchase, or when you're trying to make your decision be accepted by other people, not in a way to manipulate them, but understand what they're going through so you can present the right offer at the right time. So I think having a better understanding of that skill, having being excellent at that skill, would more than double anybody's business.
In 5 years from now, if a well-known business publication was publishing an article on your business after talking to your customers and suppliers, what would you like it to say?
I would like it to say, this company disrupted financial services industry by unique marketing methods they've generated, and became the first billion-dollar company in this area.
You've got a lot of work to do, haven't you?
I don't set small for myself.
I hope you'll come back on the show at that point.
We'll see about that.
Oz, we are now at the part of the show where you share three golden nuggets with us. What is your favorite quote, and how have you applied it?
One is from late Stephen Covey, private victories precede public victories. A lot of people think that when you see a successful person, the audience thinks that, oh, it's just this person became successful overnight. But there's a lot of private victories that person goes through, small steps that kind of builds up to that moment. So I keep reminding that to myself, that anytime I come across an obstacle or a problem in my life, that I have to have that small victory that will add to the end goal, pretty much creating a legacy with my companies and my personality and businesses.
Do you have any favorite online resources that you could share with us that'd be useful for other entrepreneurs?
For entrepreneurs, a resource that we use every day is a website called SpyFu, SpyFu.com, that gives you key information about your competitors and how they do their marketing. If they're spending money on marketing, that's definitely one thing. And if they're not, and their placement on search engines and how involved they are on other areas, because you can learn a lot from your competitors. If you have a more successful competitor, that's definitely important to find out the tricks they have in their bags and kind of replicate that. So we use that tool every single day.
Success leaves clues, doesn't it? I think that's the truth.
Absolutely.
Especially on the internet.
On the internet, yes.
What is your best advice to other entrepreneurs?
I was just talking to one of my students, and I told him the same thing. Take imperfect action. Like, taking action is one thing, but a lot of the entrepreneurs, they want to wait for that moment that the conditions are the right and the offer is the ripe and all that stuff. But it's not really that. There's no right time. You got to just take action. It will not be your best action, but you got to just push yourself over the edge and just take action, imperfect action.
Mm-hmm. I think very often people spend a lot of time getting ready to be ready, so when they're ready, they know that they're ready. Folks, if you didn't manage to get a note of Oz's favourite resource or his favourite books, you can find the links on Oz's show notes page. Just go to theentrepreneurway.com and search for Oz, which is actually spelled O-G-U-Z, or O's Connor in the search box. O's, is there anything else that you'd like to add about your business?
Yes, if someone from your audience is interested in learning how to navigate through Facebook ads and Facebook marketing, they can definitely check out my website and also ask to be added to my private Facebook group. The website is 10krevenueclub.com, and the name of the Facebook group is Facebook 10K Revenue Club.
Oz, it really has been an honor having you on the show today. Thank you for telling us about your business and your entrepreneurial journey, and also sharing your opinions and your experience about being an entrepreneur, and really highlighting the importance for people having a coach and a mentor as part throughout the journey of being an entrepreneur. So thank you very much for coming on the show today.
It's been my honor. Thanks so much, Neil.
You are welcome, Oz. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Entrepreneur Way. Subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter at Neil D. Ball.